Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good to have you with you with us this morning, Chris Miller. Good to hear from you. And I know you're working tomorrow now. Well, it was a special cameo by Chris Miller. Good to have you with us. All right. Enjoy. And he'll be at Ha-Ha's, I think, next week, right? And then at Chuckles, Laugh Factory beyond that. So look to chrismiller.com, find out everything. I thank you, sir. You can go to, we were talking earlier about the no-kill shelter at the Department of Animal Services for St. Tammany Parish, and I was looking to get some great animals to adopt there. So if you can adopt or foster, please, you go to, I had the website open, and then the damn computer closed, so we'll figure it out. Tim, look that up for me if you can, please, where they can go to St. Tammany Parish Government and browse the shelter to see if they want to adopt an animal or not, or foster one. Meanwhile, we'll talk about obesity with our friend Dr. Catherine Hudson, Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine, a gastroenterologist, board-certified in obesity medicine, sees patients in a weight loss and bariatric surgery clinic at UMC. Good morning, Dr. Hudson. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm going to call you Dr. Catherine. It seems more friendly that way. Is that all right?
Call me Cat. Everybody calls me Cat.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a hard time with doctors and piercing that doctor thing with MDs, physicians.
You have my permission.
I just have a hard time with it. I don't know why. Anyway, let's talk about the new obesity report where Louisiana ranks among states. And before we get to that, have you been to Colorado?
I'm actually going to Colorado next week conference.
I have been
to Colorado multiple times in the past. And I love it.
You know, anecdotally, just from looking, how thin everybody is in Colorado. And I don't know if that's because of the lifestyle. I don't know if it's because you can't breathe if you're heavy. I don't know. But what the hell are they doing in Colorado that makes them so damn skinny? And also D.C. I know D.C. it probably has a lot to do with the age of the people that live there and the exercise and so forth. But
sure.
Thoughts on that?
Sure. I noticed this when I went to a public health conference in New York, almost 20 years ago. When I showed up and we were walking around, I was like, everybody looks different here than in Louisiana. And that was almost 20 years ago. And I think you're right. In Colorado, places like Colorado, Utah, where people move there to go and do outdoor activities because they have access to, you know, mountain activities, I think that's right. The population does determine those rates. But this report that just came out is showing every state is suffering from this same issue, which is that the rates of obesity are steadily going up.
I have lost about 85 pounds in the last 2 years and kept it off. I work out a lot, and it was the weight loss drug that helped me do that, the Mounjaro, I think it is. How important are those drugs when it comes to helping people, and how effective are they with people? What do the studies show, doctor, as far as people like myself that have lost the weight and kept it off?
Yeah. So when we talk about obesity and in the CDC report, they bring it up again, there's two things we have to talk about. One is prevention. And honestly, our state does a really good job of moving money towards prevention and trying to prevent obesity and comorbidities like diabetes. The other part that we have to talk about is treatment. And that's what you're talking about when you speak about this new class of medications called incretin mimetics, or colloquially known as GLP-1s. And those medicines are very effective at helping patients not only treat diabetes, but also treating their obesity. And now we have a new indication for Wegovy, which is cardiovascular disease. So if you've had a stroke or a heart attack or have cardiovascular disease, these drugs can actually help prevent you from having a second stroke or heart attack, or help reduce the risk at least. But those treatments are really effective, and so is bariatric surgery. Bariatric surgery is one of our most effective treatments, and we know that lifestyle modification is absolutely necessary to be successful with the medicines or the surgery, but lifestyle modification is usually not effective on its own, at least not in the long run.
Say that part again, doctor.
We know that lifestyle modification alone will not help people lose weight in the long run. You may be able to, you know, get to the gym more and cut back on your calories and lose weight, you know, over 6 months or a year. But the data shows that most people will regain that weight in about, you know, 1 to 2 years. They'll start regaining that weight if they're not using something else like a medicine or bariatric surgery.
And a lot of that goes to eating habits. And I go back to the movie Fed Up, which I tried to watch the other day because I've fallen into the sugar habit again. But what eventually got me off of that was not necessarily from the weight standpoint, but just because I feel so bad when I eat all of that sugar. Take us through, if you will, the way your body processes insulin for people that have not heard me on my soapbox before, and how if you eat the sugar, the way your body processes it, you can't exercise enough to burn it off. And if you want to give us some examples of a of a full strength soda or however you want to do that, doc, that's fine.
Yeah. So I think what people don't realize is when we're talking about weight loss, what we're really talking about is making a calorie deficit. Now, you can make a calorie deficit or eat less calories than your body needs with a full, you know, all sugar, or you can do something that's more high protein and low sugar. The problem with eating a high sugar diet is that it spikes your insulin because your body has to match that sugar with insulin, and it usually overshoots what you need. So now you have this leftover insulin floating around in your body with no sugar, and it makes you hungry because your body needs to put a little bit more sugar in there to meet the insulin that it produced in response to that first sugar load. And so people will have what sometimes we'll refer to as like a sugar crash, where they'll feel bad later because they had a high sugar load and then have this spike in insulin, and now their body needs a little bit extra sugar to match that insulin. When people are trying to make a calorie deficit, the best way to do that is by increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables that you take in. And a lot of times people will ask me, well, don't fruits and vegetables have sugar in them? And yes, they do. But that sugar is bound to fiber, and that fiber allows that sugar to make it further into your intestines before it's absorbed. And so what happens when sugar reaches the distal small bowel, the far ends of your small intestine, is you get a natural release of gut hormones like GLP-1 and GIP and PYY. And all of these naturally occurring gut hormones that we're turning into drugs to treat diabetes and obesity. So you can increase your natural levels of these gut hormones simply by eating more fruits and vegetables, and you're not going to get that same crash from spikes in insulin whenever you just have something like a soda.
There's a big difference between fruit and fruit juice, right? The way your body processes either?
Absolutely. Yeah, so when I'm talking about how your body has to process fruits and vegetables and has to go all the way to the end of your small intestine to get that sugar away from that fiber, that doesn't happen when you're consuming something like a smoothie or juice. When you juice your fruit, what you're doing is you're pre-digesting it. You're pulling the fiber away from the sugar, and now the sugar is readily available to be absorbed, and that juice becomes just like a soda plus a vitamin.
Now, to be clear, if you, and I don't know if there's such a machine as this or not, but if you just were to put the whole apple in there, the whole whatever, I don't know, and grind it all up, and drink it that way, that would be different because you'd still be getting the fiber, accurate?
Well, it depends. You know, if you're really blending it down, then you're kind of doing some of that digestion that your
really?
Small intestine is supposed to be doing. And so smoothies can be a problem.
But wait,
if
I'm talking about
a smoothie
just,
at home.
Yeah, I'm talking about you just take an apple and I'm just trying to understand how your body works. So if I take two apples and put it in a food processor and just grind it to whatever and then eat it that way, is that different than actually eating the apple without grinding it? Is that taking some of the digestive properties away?
Yes. So that's sort of the benefit of bariatric surgery, is that what we're doing is we're asking the body to now receive food that's been sort of less digested, which is what makes the bariatric surgeries work as well as they do. But if you take fruits and vegetables and you blend them up and you make them into a liquid, there's still some fiber in there, sure, but you've sort of done a lot of the work that the small intestine would have done. So now that sugar is able to be absorbed earlier in the bowel, which then starts to mimic things like high sugar foods like sodas.
I want to bring the audience into this at 504-260-1870 because I just think, Doctor, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I think if we were to start educating kids seriously, and I might have told you this before, Dr. Kashner at UNO years ago in biology, preliminary biology, the 1000 level course, explained why it was with the sugar that you had to go on a seriously restrict your sugar intake if you wanted to lose weight. I didn't get it at that point. I did subsequently. Education has to be a very important part of this, does it not, when it comes to people understanding why they can't eat the things they do or drink the things they do and expect to exercise at all?
Yeah. I think that education is critically important. And what I do in my clinic is I spend time with patients educating them about how weight loss happens, because you can't imagine how many people come to see me and they have these ideas about how obesity happens and how weight loss happens, and they're totally wrong. And people are operating under these false ideas, and they're really putting their heart and soul into losing weight, and they're failing because they have bad information. So education is a huge part of that. But I will say that just giving people that information is also not enough. It really is about how to change behavior, because the information is easy to understand. Once I explain it to people, they understand it. It's about how to implement those changes in your life and change behaviors.
That's an excellent point, and we'll pick it up there. We come back about the wiring of your brain, et cetera, because I guess maybe the behavior or at least the understanding of it would be one step, one motivating factor to help you understand it, but it still takes a lot more. Now, we're talking to Dr. Catherine Hudson, our friend Kat, Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine, LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. She's a gastroenterologist, board certified in obesity medicine. She sees patients in a weight loss and bariatric surgery clinic at UMC. I've lost 85 pounds, kept it off for a couple of years now, and I'm on my soapbox about this because I am the classic case that Dr. Kat just talked about, which is I thought I knew, and I worked hard, and I got nowhere. Somebody texted in about Diet Coke. I drink a lot of Diet Coke. I'm still overweight. We'll talk about that and whatever other questions you have on the Oakland Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We'll talk about the way your body is wired as well. And I think a lot of it goes to the development as a human being, because maybe we're wired to be lazy, right? The less work you do, the better. Back in the caveman days, back in a flash, WWL.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
.928 talking to Dr. Kat Hudson, our friend, associate professor of clinical medicine, LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine, gastroenterologist, board certified in obesity medicine, sees patients in weight loss and bariatric surgery clinic at UMC. I'll just get on my soapbox for a second, Dr. Kat, and say that it's a shame that insurance companies will pay after you get diabetes, which once you get it, you can't get rid of it, right? Type 2, is that accurate?
Yes, I agree. That is a huge shame, and it's part of the reason why I think the CBC report is showing what it does, which is we're not doing a very good job of treating obesity because there's not a lot of coverage for treatment.
It would cost them, and I don't understand it other than looking at the mortality rate and its actuarial tables, and I don't want to drag you down this hole, but you know, it's like, why would you not do what you could to prevent somebody from getting type 2 diabetes where you're going to have to pay for that for the rest of their lives when you could prevent it in the first place? Let's talk about willpower when it comes to obesity and biology. And somebody texted this in, and they have done studies where they've shown that people are more addicted to sugar, or sugar can be more addictive than cocaine. And it goes to how our brains are wired. And I guess some of that goes back to caveman days. I'll step back. Doctor, the floor is yours.
Yes, that's a really great question about how our brains are wired. And I think it's a great segue into how obesity happens in the first place. Mm-hmm. It really is a combination of our genetics and our environment. And when we talk about our genetics, think about twins that you know. We know people who are identical twins, right? They have exactly the same genes. And they usually have the same body type. They look exactly the same, right? Same size, same weight. Now think of people who are not identical twins. They can have up to 50% of the same genes. And they usually look different. They usually have different weights and different body sizes. So our genetics play a huge role in how much we weigh, but they also play a huge role in how addictive certain things are for us. Some people can go out and have one drink and that's it. Some people love to drink and it becomes a problem for them. It's the same thing with shopping and all of the other vices we can think of. Our brains are also wired for how we handle stress and how well we sleep. All of those things impact how many calories you take in and how much you weigh. So our genetics are really important. And we have to make sure we understand that. Genetics haven't changed over the last, decade or century. It takes many, many centuries for genetics to change. What has changed is our food environment. And our food environment has become just completely saturated with lower price or lower cost foods that are higher in calories. And so it's really easy for us to overconsume calories, whereas it was not so easy in the past. And that's the main problem with obesity and what's driving obesity. And so we can talk about willpower and how people can just sort of, we can ask them to overcome their natural drive to overconsume calories. I mean, the brain is wired to survive the famine that no longer comes. And so asking people to do that is really unreasonable. So what we really need to do is use the tools that we know work, and something like a GLP-1, like you took Mounjaro for diabetes, it's the same exact drug as Zepbound for obesity. Those medicines actually turn down the volume on the food noise in our brains. They do a bunch of other things in the bodies too, but it makes us a little bit resistant to that food environment that's coming at us saying, stop and get this fast food or grab this bag of chips from this, candy machine. It really helps us make that calorie deficit and stick to our goals and use that willpower that we do have to make that calorie deficit and be successful.
And just to be clear, I don't have diabetes. I took the medicine just to lose weight because I was tired of being...
Yeah.
Not being able to move, and now I'm back to working out and having just healthier than I think I've ever been in my life. And along those lines, doctor, it's got to be about a lifestyle change. I spent a long time of my life dieting, and I put that in quotation marks because you think by the sense of a diet or by the very definition of it, okay, after this is over, I can go back to what I was doing, and that's why you go back up and down, up and down, up and down. You need to look at it as, okay, from this day forward, I'm changing my life, my lifestyle, what I eat, how I go about it, because otherwise you're going to be on that roller coaster. Accurate?
Of course, that's very accurate. And, you know, I think what's really disappointing when I tell my patients this, I know they're disappointed, and it's disappointing for everyone. Unfortunately, once you've gained weight, even if you're successful with losing the weight, whether it's through lifestyle, through medicines, through surgery, your body is going to be hungrier than it was at your original weight because you
Say that
were
again, please.
At a higher weight before.
I want to rewind that real quick.
Yeah. Once you've ever gained weight and lost it, you will be hungrier after losing weight than you ever were before you gained the weight. And the body does that on purpose because the body sees that highest weight as protective against famine. And the body knows that you survived at that weight. And so the body is desperate to get back to that weight to protect against famine in the future. And so the body will release certain gut hormones, you know, ghrelin from the stomach that makes us hungry. And we know that patients who've lost a significant amount of weight have much higher levels of ghrelin than they did before they had ever gained the weight. So your body is working against you to regain the weight.
And that goes to set point, I guess. Is that what they call it or not?
Yep, your body has a new set point after you've gained weight. So a lot of people think that they can just sort of, well, why can't I just eat less and lose the weight and keep it off? Your body is really working against you when it comes to keeping the weight off. And I see this with patients. You know, you're saying lifestyle modification alone just doesn't work. It can work for a time, but then you're going to be hungrier and you're going to have a hard time doing it alone. And the same is true for patients who are just taking the medicine or even patients who just have the surgery. We see those patients either not lose weight or regain the weight pretty quickly because if you don't include lifestyle modification when you're taking the medicine, you're not going to be successful. I have patients who come to my clinic saying, I'm on this medicine and it's not working for me. And I ask them, have you made lifestyle modifications? Let's talk about that. And they really thought that they were going to be able to take the medicine and that was going to be enough. And the data shows that the medicines were studied with lifestyle modification. They're FDA approved and intended to be used with lifestyle modification. They're not as effective if you don't make the changes.
Some final thoughts, doctor, before we let you go, just for people that are looking for the first step that they've, and you know, I preach here because I know I've lived it and I know what a difference it made in my life. And it got me to wanting to be active. And now I enjoy being active where before it's kind of like I make the analogy to digging a hole. When you're down in that hole, it's hard to climb out of. But once you get out of it, then maybe it's a little bit easier not to get back in it. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think that even though it can be hard to keep the weight off long term, whether you use medicine or lifestyle alone, once you can sort of see a light at the end of the tunnel, once you see that there are tools out there that can help you, I think it changes so much for people. It can change your mood and how you interact with friends and family. And then once you get going, you want to think of this as a permanent change, right? Like you said, this is not a diet and then you're going to quit at the end once you're successful. You have to keep going. And a lot of those changes that you make, they're usually about getting out and moving more and eating foods that actually can boost your energy and help with reducing inflammation so you feel so much better. So for a lot of people, I think they have some success and then they realize, I feel so much better after I've had some success that I want to just keep going.
I want to get this question in, and I think it's a good one. Somebody texts in, and as you talk about your body getting a new set point and you're going to have to eat more to just the way you rewire yourself, can it reset back to where it was originally after a period of time or not?
I think that the body may continue to produce those gut hormones that make you feel hungrier. Mm-hmm. But when you change some of your lifestyle habits permanently And specifically what I'm talking about is fruits and vegetables. So remember I said that fruits and vegetables actually trigger the release of gut hormones more than something like a soda. Once you start eating like that, you're going to produce more of those gut hormones that can combat some of that hunger. And now, even though your body may have that set point higher and it's producing that ghrelin and making you hungry, if you've made those changes and you're eating fruits and vegetables and you have more natural GLP-1, it's kind of like you're on Ozempic or Wegovy or Mounjaro because you're getting that natural release of GLP-1. So you can combat that set point by doing the lifestyle modifications and doing them long term.
Doctor, we're going to have you on more often. I know you're busy, but I think this is some of the more valuable information we can get out there. I really do. And I know there's nothing worse than a reformed smoker or alcoholic or, in my case, a guy that was overweight and struggled with it for so many years. But I just feel like I want to get that message out there because it can make a big difference. Thank you, Doc.
Well, thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon. All right, Dr. Kat Hudson, Associate Professor of Clinical Medicine at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. We're going to talk about Halloween when we come back and the mortuary and the blood center. So stay tuned. Going to be interesting. 940 Traffic Now, WWL.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.